Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. If our Lord's statement in the Sermon on the Mount, "Judge not that you be not judged," forbids all judging, how could a church ever withdraw from ungodly members? If all judging is forbidden, how could the church ever decide if members were drunks, idolaters, adulterers, troublemakers, disorderly, and covetous? And yet the Bible specifically requires the church to withdraw from all who belong in these categories. Two verses from Paul's writings are too plain to misunderstand or to dismiss. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5:4-5. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother who walks disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. What if a preacher or some other person is teaching what the church considers to be false doctrine? Just as an illustration, let us say that a man is preaching that alien sinners can be saved without being baptized, as some men who call themselves gospel preachers are doing. What can the church do about such teachers? Here is Paul's inspired answer. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Romans 16:17. How can a church mark the ones who are causing divisions by teaching doctrine contrary to the gospel if they cannot judge? Let me go a step further. The New Testament specifically and emphatically teaches baptism for the remission of sins, which every faithful church of Christ recognizes and practices. Peter informed his hearers on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. The little prepositional phrase, "for the remission of sins," is exactly the same as these words from Matthew's Gospel. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Matthew 26:28. Now a question which puts all of this in the right perspective. Did Jesus shed his blood because our sins were already remitted, or in order to remit them? If Jesus gave his life to remit our sins, then baptism in the name of Christ is to remit our sins. That is, if we can trust the language of the New Testament. Does the church have a right to judge a man to be a false teacher if he denies that baptism is for the remission of sins? My friends, if he does that, he is denying the plain teaching of Scripture. When a preacher or any other member of the church causes division by teaching doctrines contrary to that which Christ and the apostles taught, must we judge such a man to deserve marking? Can we do otherwise and be faithful to our Lord's instructions? How can anyone object to the church's judging in such matters? What the church must do is to carefully interpret the Bible on all topics: baptism, the Lord's Supper, moral issues such as abortion, premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, and drunkenness, and then follow the Scriptures in dealing with those who engage in these grievous sins. But all of this requires judging. Obviously, the judging must not be arbitrary. It must be according to truth, that is, the truth of God's inspired book. But judging has to take place if we are going to be the church of the living God. Our Lord commanded the church at Ephesus, "For not bearing those that were evil, and for trying those who said they were apostles and were not, and found them to be liars." Revelation 2:2. My friends, a final question. Did that require judging? Thank you, and may God bless you.